It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The state budget passed earlier this month with mixed news on education funding.
The governor and the legislature agreed to increase special education reimbursements, which school leaders have been calling for.
But there wasn't a general increase for school funding in spite of a $4 billion budget surplus.
That comes as some federal school funding programs were blocked by the Trump administration at the beginning of the month.
The state's top elected education official joins us now for a look at funding and other issues facing Wisconsin schools. Jill Underley is the state superintendent of public instruction. Superintendent Underley, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, good morning.
Before we get to the state budget, I want to start with the breaking news yesterday. Wisconsin joining this federal lawsuit after some funds that were supposed to be dispersed to schools on July 1st were blocked by the Trump administration on June 30th. What are those funds? What is the impact on schools if that money isn't coming?
Right. Well, these were funds that were already approved by Congress. And we heard in March, as you said, in 2025, that the Trump administration said we're going to get the funding, but these are funds that impact after-school programs, before-school programs, and summer school care.
What are you hearing from school leaders about this abrupt change and indefinite pause on that funding?
Well, that's the issue, right? Because when we had the green light a few months ago, our schools had already then proceeded to budget these dollars into the next school year. Because, again, Congress had appropriated them. And now they're left trying to figure out how to fund those programs. And so it's going to impact kids.
Now, turning to the state budget, first of all, let's start with the positives that school leaders are pointing out. The increase in special education reimbursement from the state. It's a little complicated. There's a formula there. What is that special education reimbursement? Why is it important to local districts?
Yeah, so the special education, that's an area that, you know, we've got some progress. So as I said, when the budget deal was announced, there's progress we're celebrating around special education, but there's more work to be done. So as it is, school districts currently were funded 30% reimbursed, I should say, on their expenses for special education, and the state budget increased that to 45% reimbursement. So that's, you know, good news. I mean, that's progress in the right direction. So it will give school districts a little bit more relief when it comes to being able to get some reimbursement for those expenses.
On the other hand, no increase in general aid for schools. And I know a lot of school superintendents and school boards have been hoping for more of that. After an earlier version of a budget plan for the Joint Finance Committee came out, you were critical of a lack of that kind of general funding increase. What do you make of this this compromise budget between the governor and Republican leaders that didn't really boost that?
Yeah, so as you said, you know, schools didn't get an increase. This is the first time they've got zero increase in new dollars since 2010. So even with the offset of that small bump in special education, it's not going to be enough to cover the gap that exists between what schools need to operate and what schools are receiving in aid. So I think the message for me here is that citizens need to know that our school districts, our school boards, and our superintendents, this is not a problem that they created, and they're going to have to make some tough decisions, you know, about programming, hiring staff, and especially when you couple that with the uncertainty at the federal level with funding. So again, you know, times are really tough for our local public school districts, and I just hope our citizens understand that this was not something that they created, and our school districts are going to have to make some tough decisions.
Is it likely, do you think, that school districts are going to turn toward property taxes, going to referendums, taking advantage of the so-called 400-year partial veto from Governor Evers to be able to nudge up some of the property tax outlays?
Well, that's the issue that the local school districts are going to have to struggle with. If they're not getting the aid from the state, they're going to have to rely on local property taxes to make that up. And really, it's whether our communities, our local school districts and the voters or the property tax owners, I should say, what type of appetite they have, you know, for having to constantly increase their local taxes is when the responsibility for funding our public schools should be coming from the state.
as you mentioned, we're just a few weeks out from a new school year. The budget happened just a little bit behind schedule, but it was a little behind schedule. And this federal news now came out midsummer. Are you hearing from districts a sense of, hey, we're kind of scrambling here, getting these pieces into place as, you know, we're getting ready to open the doors to students?
Yeah, you know, ever since really COVID, I mean, we've been struggling with a lot of these different issues. School districts have really struggled for resources, financial resources especially. But, you know, when you look at other areas where we've struggled, you know, with attracting and retaining teachers, our school districts have been in these emergency modes for some time. And we need to, as a state, and I think as a, you know, population of voters, really just stand up and say, this is what's really important to us. Public education is really important to the state of Wisconsin. We need to have more of a, you know, much more investment in it. So our school district leaders shouldn't have to struggle, because ultimately this is impacting the services to kids. It's impacting public education that our kids are receiving. And when you're not getting increases to aid, I mean, that's going to impact the type of programs and the type of opportunities our kids are receiving.
We're talking to Jill Underlee, superintendent of the State Department of Public Instruction, about the new school year, the state budget, and more. Superintendent Underlee, a couple other budget points. Student mental health funding of $30 million came through in that budget. There were calls for as much as $300 million. I think that was in the governor's plan. What do you see that student mental health funding going toward, and is it enough?
It's not enough, but, you know, it's going to continue to help, you know, in areas that we've been able to support, you know, such as, you know, anti-bullying programs, peer-to-peer mentoring, potentially professional development for teachers. There's different ways local school districts could use it. But when we look at a rise, you know, in anxiety and depression and mental health issues that we've seen as a result of our youth mental health survey, we know that there is a dire need for programming. And so that's why we had, you know, proposed such a, you know, such a large amount, but it's really meant to help kids who are struggling, because ultimately we want to make sure kids are healthy. We want to make sure that the teachers are also healthy so that, you know, they can be successful. Ultimately, let's like address the problems now when kids are young, so that they can grow into being healthy adults and productive citizens.
And the budget finally included increases to the state's Office of School Safety. That was created back in 2018 after a mass shooting in Florida. Of course, we had the tragic Abundant Life shooting here in Wisconsin. What do you see as priorities for school safety?
Well, that's just part of it, right? Mental health, belonging, making sure every child feels safe in their school. And a big piece of that is belonging, and mental health is really the umbrella under which belonging fits. And so when we talk about school safety, we want to make sure every kid feels seen and feels safe in their schools. And that's what that funding helps do, helps provide.
Moving away from the particulars of the budget, we still see some after effects on reading and math scores since the pandemic. Where do you see Wisconsin schools when it comes to coming back from that those difficult years of education?
Well, that's just it. You know, we're 5 years out now, and we know that making sure our kids can read is the most important thing we do in early childhood education. And my administration and, you know, we've been a champion of this work since I took office. I'm excited to see it continue to move forward. Our school districts have been real champions in this as well. You know, they've been working on training and implementing the required early literacy screener. And the budget delivered on the promise to help offset those costs for evidence-based reading reform. So I'm really proud of the work that our school districts have been doing, and I'm proud of the work we've been doing here at the agency. We've collected a first round of costs from schools, and so we are hoping to reimburse our school districts. You know, as we shared earlier, you know, they're struggling for revenue, so this will be a good way to reimburse them for some of the expenses they've incurred already.
A problem that goes back way before COVID, the outcomes gap between Black and white students in things like math and reading scores, other educational outcomes in the state. Been around for a long time. As we go into a new school year, what do you see out there that could move the needle?
Well, that's just it. It shouldn't be completely on the school districts to solve these. I mean, when you look at struggling students in different areas like literacy and math, or even in mental health, I mean, we really need to look at the impact that poverty has on student outcomes. And so when we invest in the areas that we know work, like literacy, math, in the school districts that need the most resources, that's the other piece. We look at other things like meals, making sure kids have access to healthy breakfast and lunch options at low or no cost. These are the we know early childhood education, high quality childcare. We know that these are the solutions. Like we know these things work, and these are the programs we need to be investing in so that we know over the course of a child's life that if they have these, you know, programs and they have access to these programs, they're going to grow up to be healthy. They're going to grow up to be ready for school, and their academic outcomes are going to be greater.
In our last few moments, we saw adjustments in proficiency standards on our key standardized tests in the state. When standardized test season rolls around in Wisconsin, what do you say to parents in particular about how to read the results when they come out for their kids and for their districts?
Well, these measures are just really a moment in time, right? You know, it's just one piece of the bigger, you know, report card or scorecard for how our kids are doing and how our schools are performing. And so, you know, it's an area that we can look at, areas that we can identify where there needs to be growth. And our scores have been equated to the old cuts. So it's really a not an issue at this moment. We can find those crosswalks, at the DPI.
Superintendent Underley, thanks for joining us.
You bet, Rob. Thanks very much.
That's Jill Underley, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. She joined us for a look at the new state budget and other big issues facing schools around Wisconsin.